You're listening to I Dream and Plot Points, a story-driven immersive experience. Headphones are recommended. At the water's edge. A mythical fantasy, where enemies form an alliance to embark on an arduous quest, only to find much more than they bargained for. Please enjoy this episode of At the Water's Edge.
He had been walking for hours, looking, searching. He had no way of knowing either the way back to his fellow knights nor their campsite, but he did not care. He had to find the source of the noises. Laughter, singing, and splashing echoed in the forest and his mind. Who could be making such bewitching sounds, and where could they be? Just as he thought he might go mad with frustration, a voice called out his name. The only thing more shocking than hearing his name was seeing the one who had called it. A vision of beauty and purity, half immersed in the clear waters of the lake. As he caught sight of her, he became lost of speech.
Worry not, dear knight. Your search has not been in vain.
His eyes widened in great fear at her voice inside his head. This only made the raven-haired maiden smile in quiet delight.
Come into the water.
She outstretched her arm, beckoning and coaxing him. He watched the water run off her arm quickly and then slower and slower until but a few drops trickled off her fingertips. Each ripple made by the drops seemed to ring a magically musical tone. She looked up at him in sweet innocence. He felt himself putting his arm out to meet hers.
Yes, come with us.
Two more voices echoed. The sounds belonged to the two red-haired sisters swimming closely by, each of them equally as lovely and fair.
We've been waiting for you.
Slowly they moved to the water's edge and began removing his leather boots. Distracted by the twins, the original siren grabbed hold of both his arms. Tensing slightly at her grip, he looked down at the maidens and at the water below them. There under the surface, he saw the faces of his fellow knights and friends. But before he could react, he was pulled into the deep to join them and his three captors for all time.
Open your eyes if you can hear me.
The knight opened his eyes and a pair of green eyes framed with long lashes were staring back at him. He struggled to move and choked on the water that surrounded him.
Calm yourself. They'll return if they sense the vibrations.
She cupped her delicate hands around the sides of his face.
Breathe in when I tell you.
She moved her face closer to his.
Breathe.
She pressed her parted lips to his. Disoriented and bewildered, He began to struggle again as he felt something wrap around his legs and squeeze.
Breathe.
He took a jagged breath and felt the relief of oxygen moving down his throat. Their lips still interlocked, he took another breath in and out. It was becoming easier to focus and the pounding in his head minimized.
I'm going to release you, but you must not move.
She spoke without speaking and lips not moving. He and she stayed face to face, but her hands unknotted his bonds. He rotated his freed wrists.
I said not to move.
He stiffened his body in response. His view still obstructed by her haunting eyes.
One last deep breath. Then you must hold it. Breathe in.
He took a very deep breath and held it. She pulled herself away and took his hand. It was then he was able to see that she was a mermaid just like the ones that ensnared him. Not only a mermaid, but the very one that beckoned him to his doom. All the air that he had held came out as he screamed. She swam quickly behind him, her palm covering his mouth.
Are all humans this stupid?
Her hissing and her arm clamping around his throat were the last things he heard and felt when all went dark again. The pleasant sound of birds chirping roused the knight from his slumber. He rubbed his eyes with his hand and saw the luminous green eyes peeking at him just above the water's surface.
At last you awaken.
It's you. You stay away from me.
Calm yourself.
I'm done taking orders from you. You tried to kill me. Twice.
No.
You choked me.
That was only to keep you quiet.
You dragged me under.
That was not me.
Yes, you. And the redheads.
The ones who trapped you were Mia and Tina and Tonya.
Then who are you?
Maya.
He blinked to clear his eyes and head of confusion.
Mia is my twin. All mermaids are born as twins. Tina and Tonya are our cousins.
What a cozy little family of harpies.
We are not harpies. Is this how you treat someone for rescuing you?
Is that what you call this?
You're alive, are you not?
I'm not certain. Honestly, this all seems a fever dream.
She edged silently closer and outstretched her fingertips to his forehead.
Do you feel unwell?
Keep your distance.
He made for his sword, which was always at his side.
Huh?
It was then that he realized he was in nothing but his underclothes.
Where are my clothes?
I placed the clothes and trinkets just there.
He saw a multitude of scattered belongings laid at the trunk of a great tree.
You could operate a right proper bazaar with all your stolen goods.
I didn't steal anything.
Do you claim those garments to be yours? Are you in the habit of wearing men's clothes?
I don't wear clothes.
He cleared his throat, becoming very aware of that obvious fact. He moved closer to the tree and began to rummage to find his clothes. He found them in a pitiful piled clump and inspected the dripping materials.
Still damp, but the others are bone dry.
You haven't been indisposed as long as the others.
The discrepancy could not be that vast. It has only been but half a day since I saw them last.
Days.
Beg pardon?
They arrived at the lake 3 days past.
How can that be?
You came by way of the Forest of Darkness.
What an apt name. Dark and cold, I could barely see my hand in front of my face. I had gone to collect kindling for the fire and tried to return to camp, but I was so hopelessly lost. I suspected the woods were bewitched, and then...
You heard Mia call to you.
Yes. Yes, I followed the voice in my head and it led me to the lake. How do you know of which way I came?
It's my task. I spot. Mia sings. Tina and Tonya subdue.
All masters at your craft, I see.
Among your party there was a captain.
Yes.
So you came here by the ocean?
Yes, that's how I and my companions came to be on this cursed place.
Then you'll take me.
I take you to the ocean?
Yes.
I'll not take you anywhere.
You will.
Pray tell, why would I?
Because I saved you.
And allowed the rest of my company to die.
You look strong and I'll need to be carried.
That's the reason you freed me? Some of the others would have been more than capable of carting you about.
But they put up such a fight when being pulled in. You were so compliant. You made hardly a fuss at all.
The knight glared downward as he slipped on the trousers of his former shipmate.
So I meet all the requirements of an amiable servant. How dare you?
In exchange for your service, I possess things of value I can give you.
Unless it's my dignity, I'm not interested.
She dipped under the water and popped back up quickly with her hands full of golden coins.
Mia says the man who left these called them doubloons.
Man? A pirate, you mean? I no sooner take ill-gotten treasure off a living scallywag, let alone a dead one.
She said he said they were of great value.
Oh, yes, they seem to have done him a great deal of good. Perhaps you can use them to decorate his corpse.
Do you want them or do you not?
He placed his hands underneath her overflowing cupped palms and raised them with a shove, sending the coins scattering every which way.
You think you can buy me?
Then what do you want?
I want out of this place.
As do I.
What nerve mermaids have.
He lunged towards her, and she dived down, out of reach and sight. Sitting back on his unadorned heels, he gloated at the water.
Good riddance.
He stood and dusted off his newly acquired breeches when a hand locked around his ankle, pulling him into the wet. His body sunk down, and he sunk his fingers into the muddy earth, clawing his way up and back onto the land. He grasped at vines and roots to pull himself further when he felt a forceful tug at his leg yet again.
Agree to take me or I'll bind you back where I found you.
The knight's hand tightened around a porous rock and he wheeled around only to be struck in the face with her mighty tail. There was a low ringing sound in his ear as he blinked his eyes. Through the blurry haze there were two dark-haired beauties glaring at him.
Now it's the two. I'm doomed.
A hand slapped him hard across the face.
Do not make me regret saving you.
He recoiled, his vision focusing. Sitting up, he then only saw one perturbed mermaid staring daggers at him.
Where's the other one?
There is only me.
Me who?
Maya. You really are dense, aren't you?
He flexed and rubbed his tenderized jaw.
We must get moving before they notice I've gone.
We? There is no we.
He removed his now sopping wet pants and set about pilfering an alternative ensemble.
I have no desire to take up as anyone's pack mule.
You cannot leave me here.
Oh, can't I?
He crammed various belongings of his bygone brethren into a duffel and pulled on the coat of his fallen captain.
What will I tell the others when they find that you are missing?
It's not possible for me to care less.
He stomped away in oversized boots to sounds of crying. Ignoring the desperate damsel, he did not slow his pace until reaching a quiet clearing. He patted the coat and searched the pockets.
It should be here.
Amongst the daisies and daffodils, he overturned his bag, scattering the contents.
Blast it!
Gathering the items of less significance in frustration, he stormed back from whence he had come. As he approached, the sob still yet persisted. Her body was hunched with head on folded arms.
Where is it?
She looked up at him, face wet with tears.
Where is it?
Where is what?
The compass.
Compass?
He grabbed her arm, and she shouted in fear.
The captain had a compass. Where is it? Give me the compass.
You're hurting me.
And the wallops you gave me to my skull felt just fine and dandy.
He tightened his grip, shaking her.
It's round and golden and shiny. Where is it?
There.
He followed her finger with his eyes and saw the glint of gold on the ground amongst the many pairs of discarded boots. He released her and retrieved the compass. She rubbed her arm silently as he opened it for inspection.
What does it do?
It tells you what direction to go.
Will it show us how to get to the ocean?
It will show me how to get to the ocean and the vessel.
He turned in a slow circle, holding at varying heights, and then tapped the case.
At least it would. Were it not broken.
He threw it to the ground and began bashing at it with the heel of his shoe.
Stupid sodding ruined rubbish.
He picked up the mangled metal and tossed it towards the woods before sitting with his back against the tree and putting his head in his hands.
You have a bad temper.
He peeked at her from under his eyebrows.
Good. Then there will be no more talk of wanting me as a travel partner.
She situated herself closer to him and rested her chin on her folded arms.
I can be good company.
He rolled his eyes at the laughable concept.
Yes, you've been enormously hospitable thus far.
She swayed her tail slowly behind her.
What are you doing?
Doing?
Honestly. Are all females the same no matter the species? You think batting those long lashes of yours are going to get you your way?
Thomas.
And how is it that you lot know my name?
I fear the answer will upset you.
I cannot be more upset than I already am.
She swayed her tail in an almost hypnotic motion.
The men told you. Before they met their watery graves, they informed you of my existence and Monica.
They told me a but yes.
I was wrong.
Wrong?
I'm not upset. I'm infuriated. You promised me something of value and that's what I'll take.
Yeah!
He leapt forward and grabbed her wrists. She screamed as he lifted her up out of the water and threw her over his shoulder. Kicking her tail, she slid out of his grip and onto the ground.
Ah!
As she rolled to her side, she sunk her teeth into the skin of his calf. He shouted in pain as she dragged herself trying to escape. But he recovered quickly enough to flip her onto her back and pin her arms above her head.
Ah!
Let me go.
He leaned, pressing his hip against her torso.
Ah!
Is this how you treat someone who gives you what you want?
She paused her flailing and gazed at him in naivete.
You'll take me.
Her breathing became quicker and more shallow.
What's all this then?
She began to choke and gasped for air. He touched his hands to the base of her throat and the sides of her rib cage where her gills expanded and contracted at an alarming rate.
Can you not breathe?
Her back arched and coughed violently.
Such a fuss you are making.
He scooped her up and set her into the water. She slipped under and disappeared. He waited as he saw small bubbles float and pop at the surface, wondering if he had acted too late. The water exploded as she resurfaced with a gasp.
Thank you.
He breathed a sigh of relief and sat cross-legged as she regained her composure.
And you say humans are stupid? How do you expect to travel anywhere?
I've been practicing holding my breath, but you startled me.
He rubbed his temples. Whether from his earlier suffocation, being walloped, or the sheer madness of the day, he felt he was on the verge of an utter breakdown.
Maya.
You said my name.
Huh?
No human has ever said my name.
Why not?
Because I've never spoken to one.
He stared at her in confusion.
Mia won't allow it.
And why is that?
I told you. We all have our task. I'm the lookout. I don't do the luring. The others, they are the attractive ones.
You and your sister are twins. How can you think she is attractive and not you?
Do you fancy me?
Maya.
Thomas?
He drew a heavy sigh.
Listen, would that I could take you to the ocean.
Truly, you will?
But you cannot last even 1 minute out of the water. It's impossible.
Her lip began to quiver.
No. Don't you start blubbering again.
She covered her face with her hands, her shoulders trembling, and slowly sank under the water.
Oh, no you don't.
He laid on his stomach and reached out for her, taking hold of her shoulders and drawing her up and nearer to him. She buried her face in his neck, seeking his comfort. He shook his head and attempted to pacify her.
There. Shush.
He rubbed her delicate shoulder blades gently as he spoke softly.
Tell me something. Why is it of such importance you get to the ocean?
I want to see what's beyond the trees.
He touched his hand under her chin and lifted it ever so slightly to meet her gaze.
Say again.
I've been here in the same lake since the day I was hatched. It's always the same. I've heard the humans talk of their adventures at sea.
Before you kill them?
I've never killed anyone. I'm the...
The lookout. Yes?
I am.
Well, look here, look out. I can sympathize with your angst.
You can? How so?
That's a story for another time. Here's what I will tell you now.
He moved the strands of wet hair that clung to her to tuck behind her ear.
As a matter of personal opinion, I think you're more attractive.
More than Mia?
More than anyone.
She grabbed onto his face and pressed her lips hard to his. In an act of self-preservation, he pushed out of her grasp.
What was that?
A kiss. It's all right if you're not experienced.
He stopped her chatter by kissing her. He held her closer and became lost in the movement of their lips. So lost that a pang of panic shot through him when he realized he could not recall the last he had stopped to take a breath. He opened his eyes to only see swaths of raven hair floating and surrounding him. He pulled his head up and out of the water, astonished, but not out of air.
Perhaps you are experienced after all.
He put his hand on his chest and tried to calm his hammering heart.
You pulled me under again.
I could not let you take my breath away a second time.
'Twas folly at best, this notion.
She blinked as he shook his head and stood.
You're leaving?
No tears, you watery vixen.
Again, he gathered his things and set his pack on his soggy shoulder before turning his back and walking away.
Thank you for listening to this episode of At the Water's Edge. Please visit our website for more storytelling experiences.